Hello, Mark. Thank you for agreeing to talk to our listeners of the Mardler today. I know you've worked all over the world, and we'd love to hear some of the anecdotes of your time teaching.
Well, thank you. Hello, Mardler. I lived all over the world. I was a teacher, and I've got some lovely memories. And I love looking back at my time in different countries. But I lived in Papua New Guinea for 20 years. Each tribe has its own language, and there are over 700 tribes. So in that one country, over 700 languages. But they speak English. All business, education and so on is in English. But the language that you hear most of all is called New Guinea Pidgin. And it's a mixture of English, Chinese, and Australian swear words and things like that. Anyway, I was there in 1975 when Papua New Guinea got its independence from Britain. Now, independence, it's a difficult word to say, and they didn't talk about independence, they said underpants. They said, underpants by come, that means independence is coming, and they didn't really know what it was. The Australian government built a wonderful parliament building as a gift to Papua New Guinea. And Prince Charles, he went representing the Queen, and he officially opened the parliament building, and there were thousands and thousands of tribesmen sitting out on the area all around the parliament building in the hot sun. It's on the equator, so very, very hot in the middle of the day. So Prince Charles was inside the building with the members of parliament, and he made a speech. And he said, "Good morning, everybody. Me number one pickaninny belong Mrs. Queen." And he said, "Me hammer must true, I'm very happy. Come long, Papua New Guinea. I'm very happy to come to Papua New Guinea and represent my mother." I think he said mummy. And the people loved that. They thought that was wonderful. And then another story about the royal family. I was there when Queen Elizabeth visited Papua New Guinea. People were so excited. The Queen, the British Queen, was coming. And you know, they'd looked in picture books and they'd seen pictures of the coronation. They were expecting something really spectacular. But the ones who went, thousands and thousands, went to the airport to see her arrive. And this big jet came, the door opened, and suddenly they saw, well, it could have been any old missionary or wife of an Australian or Englishman in a Marks and Spencer's dress and a handbag. They were expecting someone to appear with, you know, just bedecked with jewels. But that was a big disappointment. But shortly after that, the Pope made a visit. And about half the people of Papua New Guinea are Catholics. And so they got very, very excited. And what a contrast. When the Pope arrived, first of all, he arrived in a huge jet, blindingly white, all white. And the door opened, and there suddenly appeared, was it Jesus Christ himself? This figure in blinding white. And they thought that was phenomenal.
That was
This was something
amazing.
out of, like, just arrived out of space or something. So I really felt I really should have written to the Queen's staff and said, look, how disappointing the people were when the Queen arrived. But how impressed they were when the Pope arrived.
And Mark, I believe there are some couple of funny anecdotes you could tell us about the children in Papua New Guinea.
Yes, well, one thing is their names. And there were some quite colourful names. The head boy at one of the schools where I was headmaster, his name was Copter. And I said to him one day, Copter, what does your name mean? Is that in your local language? He said, oh no, that's short for helicopter. Because my mother said that when she was expecting me to arrive, she saw a helicopter. That was the first time she'd seen a helicopter. So she named me Copter. And then names, they'd all have they called them their village names in their local languages. But then they'd have an anglicised name for school. And there were all sorts of names. Most of them had seen films. The local missions would show films and they loved them, of course. Many of the boys, they called themselves Johnny Wayne or Roy Rogers. And the girls, there were many Doris Days. I remember I had a girl whose name was Red Cross.
What a lovely idea.
Yeah. And one annoying thing is, when they sat exams in the school, you really had to watch them because they would tend to use different names if they thought that another name would bring them better luck. And they'd just change their name.
Can I ask you, Mark, were the children of expatriates or were they local? Where did the children come in from?
No, they were all local. They came in from the local villages, and some of the villages, a few of children could walk in each day and then go home at the end of the day. And they didn't. For them, they could walk 5, even 10 miles or more. Wow. One way to school, and they wouldn't complain at all. But most of the children came from more than a day's walk away, so they were boarders.
That's amazing.
So we had a big headache. We had to feed them all. And
was it a fee-paying school?
They all had to pay. And sometimes they didn't have cash. So they would come with bags of coffee beans, or maybe a piglet or two. And they would pay in kind. And that was quite a difficult thing to arrange, really. And they were poor. Most of them had very little in the way of money. But the school had a little store and they could buy sweets, chocolates, treats like that, chewing gum. Yeah, so they were all from the local tribes. So in one school, maybe there were 5, 6, 8 different languages.
That must have been so difficult to do.
So amongst themselves, they would speak in pidgin English. And then in class, all teaching was in English, proper English.
Mark, you have such wonderful stories to tell.
Nearly all my life I worked overseas. I really enjoy thinking back, remembering.
And I'm sure our listeners will be absolutely fascinated. Yeah. Thanks, Mark, again.